Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop sports shop, and mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. Very happy to have you be here on the show. And in the last hour of today's show and every Friday show is Fantasy Football Friday, proudly brought to you right here by my friends at Saltine Warrior Sports Pub. And, of course, you know, I want to thank Mike Sofka as well for being a part of this. So Mike Sofka here with me from Orlando. We'll be in the same place tomorrow drafting together, but right now he's in Florida. I'm in New York. I got to cover an SU game before I cover Jacksonville, and he's down working in Orlando as well, and we are both focused in on fantasy football. So tonight, right now at this time, as every Friday goes, from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time, Fantasy Football Friday will end the live broadcast. It's the last hour of every live Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on Fridays. So make sure you make a note on Friday from 11 to noon Eastern time. We're here to answer your questions and talk fantasy football going into week one and coming off the first game. But before we do that, we have to be introed in properly. And this is Fantasy Football Friday.
Fantasy meets reality to create the game we've come to know and love. Here now with his analysis of the players affecting your teams around the world is Dan Tortora in Fantasy Football Friday.
Fantasy Football Friday here with Dan Tortora and Mike Sofka. Mike and I have been in the same fantasy football league for now, this being our seventh year, and I'm very happy to have him on here with me every Friday from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time to end out the live broadcast for Fridays to discuss what's going on with fantasy football and with the players that we care about and the teams that we love. Mike, how you doing today?
Awesome. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And Mike, I'm going to ask you this broad scope to start off and start the discussion. Carolina, Denver had a rematch, but it was different from the Super Bowl because Carolina did not have Josh Norman. Carolina now has Kelvin Benjamin. Denver had Peyton Manning, and they had Brock Osweiler. Now they have Trevor Siemian. What were your takeaways from the first game of the 2016-17 NFL season?
I think Denver's going to be just fine with Trevor Siemian at the helm. I'm not sure he's going to want to give that up anytime soon. I know he had the two picks. And I know, you know, it looked kind of pedestrian at best, but at the same time, he did what he had to do and helped control the offense when they had the ball. And, you know, you can't take away from the efforts of C.J. Anderson, 92 yards and a touchdown. You know, the receivers didn't pop off the screen or anything. And as a matter of fact, Devontae Booker shocked me with his ability to fumble and his inability to pick up any real playing time or any significance there. But the biggest question to me was, are we seeing a revisit of the Shaquille O'Neal situation in the NBA with the hack-a-shack? Are we seeing that on Cam Newton, whereas he's a big guy, a punishing, bruising runner? And, you know, do the refs kind of have a different set of rules for him because he's a bigger, more athletic back and can take the abuse? So there's some questions there. But, you know, Carolina's going to be fine. It's still early in the year, and they just ran into another really good defensive you know, script that Denver was able to put together and keep control of the game and end up pulling out the one-point victory.
When you look at Trevor Siemian, I mean, some people drafted Denver quarterback. I have held four live drafts for the four leagues here in Central New York, brought to you by Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora and Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, as well as the Penn and Trophy Center, who proudly brings us our championship trophy, which is a mini Lombardi, and our version of the last place, which some people that watch the league call the Sacco. We have a very interesting last place trophy that'll bring some comedy to the league this year as well. When you look at the fact that, and like I was saying, in my league, sometimes the Denver quarterback was drafted, sometimes he wasn't. I do team quarterbacks, so you get Paxton and Trevor. And you had Mark before he left for Dallas. But Trevor Siemian, where would you put him in fantasy football? I mean, he threw two picks. In the leagues that I have, you can't lose points on interceptions, but in other leagues you do. So for Trevor Siemian, can he be a number two? I'm not going to call him a number one, but would it be safe to draft him as a number two?
I wouldn't go out of my way to draft Trevor Siemian. Now, this takes nothing away from Trevor Siemian. He's as an NFL quarterback. He's not fine as a fantasy quarterback yet. He's got some potential, but at the same time, he's just not where he needs to be to have a roster spot for me. If you're looking for a young, upcoming rookie quarterback, Dak Prescott might be more in the lines of being the number two quarterback on a fantasy team.
So we see, you know, like a Dak Prescott, which I agree with. Now, Dak has fallen to certain places. I would say, you know, around rounds 8 or 9, maybe 11, I've let him fall, and usually I let him fall one or two rounds a little bit too far instead of picking him up at the time. Where have you seen Dak Prescott going as the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys? Because, like I said, I could see him go rounds 8 or 9. I've seen him go, like, maybe 11. He's not falling to, like, 13 or anything like that. So where would you say is a safe bet to pick up Dak Prescott? And for those that have already drafted, to let them know, and for those of us like you and I that are drafting tomorrow for the Florida League, where's a good place to take Dak Prescott?
I'm not sure I would take Dak Prescott. I mean, maybe on a, if he fell to me and the situation was right late in the draft, I'm more of a wait-and-see approach, but you can't argue with the possibilities for success that he has. We've talked about this before where he was basically facing an NFL-type defense in the SEC, where the SEC is, you know, considered by a lot of folks to be the minor leagues of the NFL with the speed, the ability, and the power and the quality of the athletes. So he's already had a lot of experiences that a lot of other guys haven't. Now, mind you, the NFL is still a lot faster and is still a lot better athlete, but at the same time, he's had a jump on that. So he also has some talent around him with Dez Bryant. Jason Witten's going to become a good friend to him, and of course, so is Ezekiel Elliott, who they should have a lot of success running the ball. So he does have the pieces around him to be successful, and I think they're going to not let him over-manage the game. I think they're going to put him in positions to be successful there and limit some of the play calls, limit what the expectation is for him. This way he can just lead the team down to make first downs. That's the quarterback's job, to make first downs, and then hopefully that'll convert into fantasy points with a Dak Prescott.
Absolutely. You know, and I think, you know, a lot of people with Jason Witten, they've believed in a reemergence of Jason Witten, is what I've seen in the fantasy live drafts that I've held, the four that I've had, is that this Dak Prescott thing. Now, everybody always joked that Tony Romo and Jason Witten had this relationship, you know, this bromance, so to speak. But Romo goes down, Dak Prescott comes in, and people are now drafting Jason Witten a lot higher. Where is the highest you've seen him go? I've seen him go, like, fourth round. Where's the highest you've seen Jason Witten go, and do you buy into the fact that Jason Witten is going to have a resurgence this year?
I think he's going to have an uptick. I don't think that he's going to, you know, blow the doors off anything. He's going to be a typical Jason Witten guy, except for now I think he's got a better opportunity in the red zone, and that is worth a few upticks. He's got an average position as the 12th through the 16th tight end off the board for me. So if you're in a 12-team league, he's going to be more of a backup. But I've seen him in positions rated a lot lower than that. So, you know, sometimes the ratings and the things I have and do are a little bit different than the average person does when they're playing fantasy football. And that's okay. This is what works for me. I found a system that works for me. And, you know, I put a lot of pride in it. So I put a lot of value in that, too, because what I do is I come into the year with a plan, and I stick to that plan. Now, mind you, if you show me something different on Sunday on the field, I'm going to reevaluate things, and I'm not afraid to change things up. You know, you have to adapt. You have to win each week. You have to do what you have to do on a weekly basis to win, because there might not be a next week. What I mean by that is the season's going to catch up on you very fast. However, it is week one. We don't need an overreaction, but you do need to pay attention. And if there's something good out there on the waiver wire, we need to jump on it.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you look at some of the, you know, to make mention of the Panthers-Broncos game, this first game that happened this season for the NFL, you know, for fantasy football owners, I see C.J. Anderson, you know, about 5 yards a carry. He carried 20 times. He had 92 yards. He had a touchdown. So not too shabby for him. Devontae Booker, here's the funny thing about Devontae. I let him fall, And once again, like Dak Prescott, I let Devontae fall, and eventually he was taken when I would have maybe taken him in the 14th round or 15th out of 18 rounds, something like that, because he's been relatively under the radar, but he's been picked up. And like you said, it's not time to panic in week one, but it almost makes me feel a little bit better that 3 carries, 8 yards for Devontae Booker, and C.J. Anderson had a good game, that I'm sitting here going, did I miss the boat on Devontae Booker? Is this going to be a guy that I'm going to really miss not having in his rookie season? And I know it's only one game, but like you said, his inability to get out there, get touches, and obviously hasn't shown enough to the coaching staff. 3 carries for 8 yards. So the Devontae Booker factor and the Jonathan Stewart factor, who Jonathan Stewart was drafted in the second round of one of my drafts, and I was completely shocked. Jonathan Stewart, to me, is not somebody that I take anymore. He doesn't offer me many fantasy points. He would have gotten me 6 points because a point for every 10 yards. So he had 64 yards yesterday on the ground. And then through the air, you know, that counts as well. But he didn't have anything. So Jonathan Stewart, I've never been sold on, Mike, you know, for the last few years. Maybe I took him 4 or 5 years ago, but Cam Newton is a leading running back for the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton's the guy that's going to run it into the end zone. He showed that yesterday. He had 11 carries for 54 yards and a touchdown. Stewart had 15 carries for 64 yards and no touchdowns. Almost identical, but Cam gets you the 54 yards on the ground, the touchdown, and the touchdown through the air, and almost 200 yards passing. So Devontae Booker in Denver, Jonathan Stewart in Carolina. Playable or not playable? I'm going to put my vote out there and say Devontae, I don't know what he's going to be, but I feel better that I missed him. And Jonathan Stewart, I'm not going to draft because Cam Newton is the guy that's running the ball in Carolina. How do you look at Devontae Booker and Jonathan Stewart?
Well, preseason here, early on, I've been high on Booker all preseason here. I think he's draftable. I think it's a guy that, you know, has a shot to take over the starting job, but he got off to a rough start. He definitely has the pedigree, the athleticism, the ability to catch the ball, and the ability, more importantly, as a young guy, to pass block. And that's the thing that's going to keep you on the field, because if you can't pass block in the NFL, you're not doing any good, and they're going to key on you every time you come into the backfield because they know the only thing you can do is run the ball. That being said, I think Jonathan Stewart is the better of the two options, but you made a great point. Cam Newton is the offense in Carolina. Everything runs through him. So I think Jonathan Stewart might be a good RB2, and Devontae Booker may be a late-round flyer if you're interested in maybe taking a chance on something. I don't think Devontae Booker is going to turn out to be a Ronnie Hillman. Ronnie Hillman had his share of problems and, you know, for years was going to be the guy, but he never became the guy. But I think Devontae Booker has it in him, and I think he could be that guy by the end of the year. Early on, the safer bet is Stewart, but, you know, later on, I think it's still going to be Booker. We just have to give him a little more time.
So you saying Devontae Booker will get an opportunity at some point. I'm not disagreeing with you here because C.J. Anderson has been underwhelming, but I just can't with Jonathan Stewart. Anybody that drafts Jonathan Stewart, they can have him all day, every day, because I will not take that opportunity. And so fair note to my draftees in Florida when we have our draft tomorrow that you're safe if you want Jonathan Stewart. Mike, I want to go, speaking with Mike Sofka and myself, Dan Tatora, we are the two-headed Fantasy Football Friday here every Friday live broadcast from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time. If you have a question on your fantasy team, you can send them to us on Twitter at CallDT, that's CallDT. You could send them on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT. You could send them to the live feed chat room on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Or you could call the show directly during the show while it's live, 681-222-5538, which is 681-2-CALL-DT. And we've had some questions, fielded some questions already. I've had some come through my website on wakeupcalldt.com's fantasy football page, and I've also had some others come through. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you these, and because I've answered these questions already, and I want to get your take on it as well to kind of get another perspective. But I was asked the question about, let me see who I have here. It was, do you take Falcons quarterback against Tampa Bay, or do you take the Cardinals quarterback against New England? I ultimately chose to say, when I had to make this choice, I said if I had to put my feet to the fire. Now, Atlanta and Tampa usually play close games with one or two touchdowns for Matt Ryan. Carson Palmer had two or more touchdowns in 11 of 16 games last season. So I said if it was my feet to the fire, I would take Carson Palmer against New England instead of Matt Ryan against Tampa Bay. Who would you take in that scenario?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I'd have to go Carson Palmer. I've got Carson Palmer ranked as the number 12 quarterback this week against New England. But, you know, I think Julio Jones is an excellent target to have there in Atlanta. So Matt Ryan's going to put up some points as well. I have him as the number 16 quarterback against Tampa this week. And ironically, I have Jameis Winston just above him in that same matchup. So I think Carson Palmer has some weapons all the way around him, a complete running attack with David Johnson. And I think that David Johnson isn't the only thing you need to fear there. I think Michael Floyd should have a big year. Larry Fitzgerald should still do well. And same thing with John Brown. You know, they can just come at you any different angle in Arizona. You know, I know New England's defense is good, but you're playing that game's in Arizona too, so that could be a difference as well. I like Carson Palmer in this spot. I think he'd be the play over Matt Ryan.
So we're in agreement on that one, and let's see if we agree on this one. Another question that came through my website, you can go to wakeupcalldt.com and click on the fantasy football tab on the top of the page, and right in the right-hand corner, you can fill out your question and send it over to me. I received a question, who should I start, Bengals defense versus the Jets or Buccaneers defense versus Atlanta? Once again, speaking on Atlanta and Tampa Bay, this is a matchup where I see two teams allowing 20 points apiece at least to one another. Normally that doesn't get you anything because if you shut a team out or hold them below 10 or below 20, you know, there might be something depending on what league you're in. But over 20, there's usually no points awarded. Sometimes there's points taken away. So I said, you know, Cincinnati is going up against the Jets. Fitzy's got Decker. He's got Marshall. He's got weapons. And we'll see what Matt Forte can be for the Jets as well. But if it was up to me, because of their special teams, the potential of Tyler Boyd, the rookie wide receiver out of Pittsburgh, and the fact that Tampa usually is allowing 20 points at least to Atlanta in their head-to-heads, I chose Cincinnati's defense over the Bucs defense. Who would you have chosen?
No, I would take Cincinnati as well. I think there's a lot more opportunities, a lot more upside. I have them ranked as the number 10 defense against the Jets. I think the Jets may underwhelm us at times here this year. I know they have a lot of opportunity with Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall, and you know it's a good thing they were able to bring Fitzpatrick back, and I think that's good chemistry, and I like what they're doing with Matt Forte. But I just really think when you come into a buzzsaw like Cincinnati, even though the game's in New York, I think I would lean toward Cincinnati. I think the Bucs could get into an up-and-down-the-field situation matching points, and that could damage any auxiliary points you get from special teams on defense. You know, a lot of times you get negative points for points allowed or yardage allowed, too, so depending on your league scoring system. But, you know, without a doubt, overall, if you have to choose between the two, Cincinnati is the better play over Tampa.
So we agree on that one as well. And then I kind of want to go around the league here as we have a half an hour left in Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. And in this last hour, Fantasy Football Friday, airing every Friday from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time on wakeupcalldt.com as well as on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt, the live feed featuring Mike Sofka and myself, Dan Tortora, your two-headed fantasy football brain that is proudly bringing you our thoughts on your fantasy football teams and all the matchups. So, Mike, I want to go down the line here and speak on each of the games that we have coming up and kind of what to look out for, who to play, who to sit, and overall feeling. The Packers are going up against the Jaguars. I will be at that game at Everbank Field covering the first game of the season with the Jacksonville Jaguars, so I'm happy to be in the press box and get to talk to the guys after the game in the locker room as well. So it's been a long time, been too long, I feel like, since the last football season and last time getting down there in Jacksonville. So Packers, Jaguars, who are you playing? Who are you sitting? What's your overall fantasy advice for that matchup?
Well, I still like Aaron Rodgers a lot in that game. I know it's at Jacksonville, and I know Jacksonville's made some strides as far as the defense goes, but you can't deny Aaron Rodgers. I got him the number three quarterback overall, and I think Green Bay is a power-filled team that can attack offensively from many angles with their running game, their passing game, and they have a solid defense as well. So I think that might be Jacksonville's biggest challenge. Now, I know Jacksonville has the ability to put up some points as well. Starting off at the quarterback position, I'd have no problem starting Blake Bortles if I didn't have Aaron Rodgers. I got Blake Bortles as the number 11 quarterback this week. You know, you go further down the line, position by position, I would have to think that, you know, Green Bay has the advantage at running back with Eddie Lacy. I know there's been some talk about his weight and so forth, but I think he's going to be just fine even in the Jacksonville heat of the day, which it's going to be pretty warm if you're from Green Bay. But you can't argue with the receivers that either team has. I mean, you could go Allen Robinson or Jordy Nelson. That's a coin flip. You shift over to the tight end position. I think a Julius Thomas might be a coin flip right now with a Jared Cook. I'm not sure that they're really settled on their tight end position there in Green Bay. And defense to defense, I really think Green Bay has the advantage over Jacksonville. I think they're a lot more put together. In a year or two, I think that Jacksonville defense is going to come around. They're just young right now, and if I had to bet on the game, I would definitely take Green Bay, even though it's in Jacksonville.
You know, I think that this is going to be an interesting game. I think it could be a shocker for the Jaguars to get this victory. It would definitely say a lot about the season to come and some of the prognosticating about it. I don't think that this is a runaway for Green Bay, but I when I look at this from the fantasy point of view, I think Aaron Rodgers is safe to play. I drafted him when I actually got to him in one of my live drafts and drafted him because he's burned me. And sometimes we do that. We draft the players that have affected us the most in a negative way in the past. So I brought in Aaron Rodgers. I think Jordy Nelson, who obviously has been nursing himself back from injury, you know, he's someone to look at. I don't know if he's going to be full tilt, ready to go 100%, but it will be interesting to see that matchup. I would like that 1-2 punch in the offense. You know, you get 10 points typically in most standard leagues, 4 from Aaron and 6 from Jordy. When they link up, you get 10. So I would look at playing the both of them. Eddie Lacy, you know, with Dante Fowler healthy, with Sendarik Marks there, with the linebacker core healthier, and obviously there's been a boost there, and with some more physical players in the secondary, you know, this is a different defense. So I don't know if I'd play Eddie Lacy this week. TJ Yeldon would be hard for me to play this week as well. Chris Ivory's been nursing a calf injury, so he's been limited. So really, if it came down to it, I would say Blake Bortles, not a bad pick for this one, just to see how he's going to go with this. Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, and Jordy Nelson with Aaron Rodgers. If I had to choose between Jared Cook and Julius Thomas at tight end, I would choose Julius Thomas in this one. Bills and the Ravens and in Baltimore, who do you have in this one? Who's worth playing? Who's not worth playing when the Buffalo Bills take on Baltimore?
Well, I definitely think Tyrod Taylor, if he's a quarterback on your roster, he's a quarterback you should consider playing this week against a Baltimore defense that's suspect at best. A lot of the guys might have him as a backup quarterback, so be careful with how you receive that information, but Tyrod Taylor is definitely a play this week. I'm not sure I could say the same at the quarterback position for Joe Flacco, but you know, that's yet to be seen. He usually ends up pulling out a good year somehow, some way. All of a sudden he amassed his stats, but I have him ranked very low this week, as low as 26. Shifting over to the running back situation, it looks like it might be more of a committee situation for Baltimore at this point. They waived Justin Forsett and brought him back on the cheap, but Terrence West has had an excellent preseason here. I would definitely give the edge there running back to Buffalo with LeSean McCoy. It looks like he's going to be healthy. Looks like he should really have a good year this year. He's definitely a top 20 someone you want to have in your running back position. Going over to wide receiver, what can you say? Sammy Watkins is a playmaker. He's a threat to score every time he gets the ball anywhere on the field. The only problem has been in the past has been his health. And, well, it's the first game of the season, so he better be healthy. So if he's on my team, I'm definitely going to play Sammy Watkins. I'm not sure I can say the same for any Baltimore receiver or tight end for that matter. And then flipping over to tight end on Buffalo's side, I'm not sure I can trust that Charles Clay this week. So I don't know if they would crack the lineup. I think the Baltimore defense is more suspect than thought of. I think people still fear that purple-type defense that they had with Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis is gone. Those guys aren't there anymore. I've got Buffalo ranked at a lot higher than Baltimore, but Buffalo's not that much better on defense. So this could be an interesting situation fantasy-wise, defensively. You know, this could be a little bit of a shootout on the defensive end. But at the same time, you got to give the offense weapons, the fantasy guys that are going to score you the most points, you got to give the edge to Buffalo in this one.
You know, when I look at this matchup between the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens, you know, it is difficult for me to pick Joe Flacco, like you said. So it's difficult for me to pick up Joe Flacco in this one just because of the fact that this is, I mean, yes, you're going to be at home in Baltimore, but at the same time, I don't like this game. I think it could be a 13-10 game. I think it could be a 17-7 game. I don't see a lot of scoring in this game. So, yeah, I do agree with you, Mike, that I'm not going after Charles Clay. I'm, you know, the tight ends for Baltimore, forget about it. They've been injured, and when they're not injured, you know, performance-wise, not really high on. Maybe Terrence West. Maybe I put him out there as a backup or a flex guy. Buffalo, Sammy Watkins. You know, I could look at the opportunity of potentially getting somebody like a Sammy Watkins out there and seeing what he's capable of against this Baltimore defense, like Mike had said, is suspect. But, you know, that's kind of how I look at it. If I was going to play anybody, I would consider playing Sammy Watkins, and I would also consider Terrence West in this one. And we have Mike here to – so, yeah, Mike, I agree with what you had to say as far as – who to stay away from. I do agree with Joe Flacco staying away from that, and I would really only go after Terrence West and Sammy Watkins in this one. For the Bears and the Texans, what do you have for fantasy notes on this?
Not really much as far as the Bears or the Texans go. If you put individual defensive players, of course the Texans are a sexy pick with a lot of good players on their defense, but as far as performance, it's hard. I mean, I could go with a Lamar Miller. He would be an excellent starting running back this week against the Bears. He's a top 10 running back, and I think a lot of their offense is going to run through him with Osweiler still kind of like a rookie, if you want to think that way. But he's dynamic because he has that experience that he had in Denver, and he's got the weapons. He's got Lamar Miller. He's got DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver, who's a top 5 receiver. I'm not sure that Alshon Jeffrey could keep up with a DeAndre Hopkins in this game, but we'll see. I still have Alshon Jeffrey ranked as a top receiver. He's number 14 on my list this week. Tight end situation is going to be a little bit different here. Zach Miller really turned it on last year, but that was with a Adam Gase situation there in Chicago. Well, Adam Gase has gone on to Miami, and hopefully that'll be good things for Jordan Cameron, but Zach Miller still has the ability to get the ball and run in space. I got to see a lot of video of him this weekend, and once he gets the ball, he's dynamic with some moves he has, and that's strange saying that for a big guy at tight end. So if I had to start anybody, I would definitely be okay with starting Zach Miller. I'd definitely be okay with starting Alshon Jeffrey or DeAndre Hopkins and Lamar Miller. Can't say the same thing about the quarterbacks there. And defensively, I'm not sure that either one of these teams is fully healthy right now. It's strange at the beginning of the year, but there's still some question marks when it comes to J.J. Watt. Let's face it, when you have J.J. Watt, he's a large part of your defensive package. Not a bad pick, though. I got Houston as the number 13 defense this week.
So Houston is the number 13. You know, Chicago, I'm not a huge fan of their defense. So obviously, if it's up to me in fantasy football here on Fantasy Football Friday inside of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, I'm not playing Chicago's defense. I would look to Alshon Jeffrey, see what he could do in this one. I've never been sold on Jay Cutler as a quarterback, so it's hard for me to draft somebody like Alshon Jeffrey. But I know he has his good games, and I know that he, you know, he's done some good things in the past. So Jeremy Langford, he might get away with a touchdown, you know, reception. He might be able to break away, zigzag for 30, 40 yards in this. So Jeremy, maybe he's a flex guy for you. Alshon Jeffrey, potentially put him out there. DeAndre Hopkins, outside of those three guys, I really don't see anybody that I can tell you to play in this one and really believe that it's a good one. Lamar Miller, I want to see what he's capable of. I did not draft him so far in the four drafts I've had. I was never sold on him in Miami, so I don't know what he's going to look like in Houston. Cleveland Browns, but I'm leveling. I'm going more on the side of Lamar Miller not worth the pick. He's regarded as the number four running back in the country based on some projections for fantasy football, and I don't buy into that. I think there's a lot better you can get. Cleveland Browns and Philadelphia Eagles. Mike, who are you putting out there in this game? Who are you not putting out there?
Well, I think RG3 is going to surprise some people this year. I know it's early, and hopefully you're not in a position where you're going to have him as your starting quarterback, but I think that that would be an interesting play. I think there's going to be some stuff happening there. He's got some athletes around him, and if they can finally put it together in Cleveland, that would be awesome. Carson Wentz is going to get the start for Philly, and I don't see him as a good play at all against Cleveland. They have some cornerbacks there in Cleveland, and they have some defensive schemes that they're going to throw at him, and they're going to attack and blitz from all directions. So they, you know, that's what you do with a rookie quarterback, and a rookie quarterback's going to throw you 15 to 20 picks a year. That's pretty much the stat. I wouldn't have a problem starting Ryan Matthews, even though Cleveland defense is somewhat stout. Ryan Matthews is going to get a lot of work, a lot of productivity. I wouldn't be surprised if he picks up 100 yards in this game between receiving and running. He's going to do at least that. So if you're in a PPR league, that could be huge for you as well. Duke Johnson's probably going to get most of the work at the running back spot in Cleveland. Although Isaiah Crowell has been looking sharp, especially on the short yardage, he might be your touchdown guy. So if you're in a touchdown-only league, that might be a direction you want to go in. As far as receiver, not a lot jumps out at me. I don't like the Philadelphia receivers. I've downgraded all of them since Carson Wentz was announced as the starter. I don't see a lot of value there on Cleveland's side either. But an interesting play might be a Corey Coleman. This is a guy who's blazing fast out of Baylor, and this guy could do something here. So maybe a receiver three, maybe a stretch flex if you need it. Tight end position, you can't argue with Barnridge for Cleveland. He's going to be the safety valve there. And, you know, he put up some decent stats himself last year, so he should be a fine play. I wouldn't go anywhere with Zach Ertz yet. I'm still of the mindset that he needs to prove something to me. I know a lot of people are scheduling him to be a top 10 tight end even this weekend, as high as number 6 I've seen. But he has to prove that. I mean, they got a lot of different directions they could go. But with that rookie quarterback Wentz, again, Ertz may be his best friend, and he may get a lot of targets, a lot of looks. Defensively, Cleveland might not be a bad play if you have the Cleveland defense. You know, you're going up against a rookie quarterback. You're bound to get some picks. But I have them more of a midstream ranking this week at number 17, and I have Philly around the same ranking as well. So it should be an interesting game. You're going to have some fantasy players put up some points. Hopefully you're not relying too much on too many guys from Cleveland, though. If that's the case, you might have wanted to call me before your draft because you did something wrong.
And looking at Philadelphia going up against Cleveland, Philly at home, in my opinion, the Cleveland Browns, Corey Coleman, you brought him up, Mike. I don't think he's a bad play against Philadelphia. I don't understand the people that draft Philly's defense and special teams, unless you're a Philly fan, which typically that's who drafts the Philly defense. I don't see the reason in taking a team like this because I don't believe in this defense currently in this moment. I think Cleveland, Corey Coleman could do some good things. Duke Johnson Jr., not a bad one to put out there. Isaiah Crowell, I go back and forth with him because he doesn't get a lot of touches. He hasn't gotten a lot of opportunities. He's never been the dominant number one guy. So Duke Johnson Jr., he's proven he can catch the ball. He can run. He's good for a guy like RG3. I would consider, if you don't have an Aaron Rodgers and you don't have a Blake Bortles and, you know, some of the other, maybe even a Matt Ryan this week and whatnot, if you don't have these guys, then maybe RG3 is the guy to play. And, Mike, I'm there in the boat. I said it months ago. I said RG3 going to Cleveland could be a total resurgence of his career. So I like RG3 against Philly's defense. I like Duke Johnson Jr. against the defense, potentially Corey Coleman. And on the Eagles side, I would agree with you. Zach Ertz is really the only guy I'd put out there because a rookie quarterback who's running around the field seems to feel some comfort from a tight end. And, you know, Zach Ertz could benefit from that. But outside of that, you know, I wouldn't really go anywhere. I wouldn't play Philly's defense. I would consider Cleveland's defense because they might get a couple picks in this game. Tampa Bay and Atlanta, we've talked about this. We're going to go kind of rapid fire here with about 15 minutes to go. So we're going to give you our fantasy picks for each of these with about, I think, 11 more games to cover. Buccaneers, Falcons, a couple minutes on this one. Who are you playing? Who are you sitting in this game?
Well, I'm definitely playing Doug Martin. Doug Martin's a guy that you have to have on the field. He's the number one running back on anybody's team. If he's on your team, he's the number one running back. Either quarterback, Winston or Ryan, they should be on your bench. Hopefully they're your number two quarterback. They've got to prove some things to me yet this year. Devontae Freeman, though, you can't go wrong there either. It's a coin flip as to which one's going to have the better game. I think whoever runs the ball better in this game has the best chance of winning. You know, they got tall receivers in Tampa, but you can't argue with Julio Jones. He definitely, hands down, gets the nod. He should be one of the top wide receivers this year. And tight end is kind of an up-in-the-air type situation. Atlanta has, some work to do with Austin Hooper. Is it going to be Jacob Tammy? And then you go to Tampa, and is it going to be Cameron Braid, or is it going to be Safarian Jenkins? Finally going to know the playbook. So I think pedestrian at best on the defense, but there's definitely some fantasy stars in this game.
I look at this one, and I say, see, Doug Martin, I'm not sold on a Doug Martin. I mean, if it's yardage, he's got 1,400 yards last season. If we're talking about touchdowns, he had 7 touchdowns between receiving and rushing last year. I'm not very sold on Doug Martin. As far as I'm looking at scoring, I'm looking at getting in the end zone. Jameis Winston has an ego. Jameis Winston likes to be the guy. So I think makes it even worse for me because I think Jameis would rather pass it himself than rely on somebody like Doug. I would potentially look at playing a Mike Evans in this game. Safarian Jenkins, I like him. He was the number one target of Jameis Winston last year before he got hurt. But as Mike brought up, you know, there's been some issues with him being somebody who is prepared, and that obviously is just him hurting himself. If he is healthy and he knows what the heck's going on out there on the field, Safarian Jenkins could work his way to being a number one tight end for you. If he continues to be the number one target from Jameis Winston, who's going to throw a touchdown or two in this game. And as we move forward, I would expect to say he's going to throw one or two a game safely. So Safarian Jenkins, maybe you put him out there as a backup or as a flex in this one, see how he goes, but definitely watch him. Doug Martin, if you're looking for yardage, not for scoring. Devontae Freeman, I definitely put out there. Julio Jones, I'm going to give him a shot. Mike Evans, I'm going to give him a shot. And definitely look at Mohamed Sanu. I don't know what he's going to be in Atlanta right now. He was not used properly in Cincinnati, so he's one that I'd leave on the fence, but definitely keep your eyes on. Minnesota Vikings, Tennessee Titans, who do you got?
Well, I definitely don't have a Minnesota quarterback here. I think Marcus Mariota is going to run the ball a little bit, but their running backs are really going to get the lion's share of the work there. They're going to have that running attack in Tennessee, and that's pretty much what they're going to do. But if you want to talk about running the ball in that game, you got to look on the other side of the ball to Adrian Peterson. This is a man amongst boys. He's always been this way. You could see him just pop off the screen even out of college at Oklahoma. This is a guy you know was going to be a game changer. So if you have the chance to have Adrian Peterson on your team, this is a guy that you're definitely going to reap some points from this year and this game. I don't see a lot from the tight end position. I'm sorry, the wide receiver position anywhere around in this game. I think tight ends on both teams are pedestrian at best. I don't think you're going to be reaching for a tight end on either team here, but wide receivers should be interesting. I wonder how much they're going to throw the ball in Tennessee. I'd really watch. Tajay Sharp.
In Tennessee. Sharp.
This guy could become the guy there, so keep him on your waiver wire watch list. I've seen him getting drafted in some leagues, so keep an eye out for Tajay. He might be a guy you might want to add later.
Okay, and yeah, he's somebody that's been brought up before and is not a stranger here. He's someone that Doriel Green Beckham, when they were talking about why did Doriel leave and what was the reason for that, could be Tajay. So definitely something to look into. For Minnesota and Tennessee, they're playing this game in Tennessee. I want to see what Derrick Henry can do. I think eventually he's going to be the starter. I know DeMarco will put some work in, but I think Derrick Henry is the workhorse of this team. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do. Marcus Mariota, I never rule out Delanie Walker because that seems to be a target, and I don't rule out Kyle Rudolph, but I don't know about Minnesota right now. I would kind of trust in Adrian Peterson, especially in week one, and on the Tennessee side, I look to Derrick Henry and potentially Delanie Walker, but I don't know if this is going to be one of those games. Like Mike said, if you're going to see a ton of passing, but I do believe, as opposed to what Mike had said, that I do think these tight ends will be utilized more this year than maybe was thought when Mike brought it up here. We got a few more minutes, so we got to run through these quick. Bengals, Jets, who do you got?
Yeah, well, the Bengals, you immediately want to go to the quarterback position, but I don't know if Andy's somebody I want to trust this week. You know, I'm worried about Andy Dalton. He never seems to get it done year end here. So Ryan Fitzpatrick seems to be a guy that can get the ball to the wide receivers. But again, I don't think either one of those quarterbacks is a starting place, you know, on my roster. As far as running back, I might look at a Matt Forte. You know, I might look at a Jeremy Hill. But then you got that coin flip there with Bernard. Who's going to get the ball? Are you in a PPR league or not? That may condition which play you make. If you have one or both of those guys, Giovanni Bernard's definitely the guy you want to lean toward in a PPR league. But if I have the choice between him and Forte, I'm going to go Forte because I like Forte. He can still catch the ball out of the backfield. You can't argue with what A.J. Green does at wide receiver. And for that matter, same thing with Brandon Marshall on the other side of the ball. So that's about a draw there. And looking at the tight end position, I'm not sure Tyler Eifert is going to be showing up to this game. Looks like he's 4 to 6 weeks away. So yeah. I don't think either team really has a tight end that's going to make an impact.
No, and quickly here on my side, Cincinnati, you know, A.J. Green, I know that he's talented. I know people take him high. But I always, you know, I kind of see a consistently inconsistent player where he has his positive moments, but he has his trying times. If it's between him, Giovanni Bernard, or Jeremy Hill, then obviously I'd go with A.J. Green. For the Jets, Eric Decker, Fitz, and Brandon Marshall, they're all playing at home, and I think any of them would be worth looking at for a nod. Oakland Raiders, New Orleans Saints, who do you have, Mike?
I think Derek Carr may be a sneaky play for a lot of people this week. I got him number 6 as quarterback overall. New Orleans defense, especially the secondary, is still suspect, and that could be a real shootout game. And that's exactly what you need for Derek Carr, or if you have an Amari Cooper. It's going to be interesting what Latavius Murray can do this week, too. I've got him as a number 11 running back, but he's got DeAndre Washington right on his heels. But I still think Latavius Murray is a safe play as well. At receiver, you can't argue with Amari Cooper. This is a guy, he's a playmaker, can score from anywhere on the field at the University of Alabama. This guy is the real deal. Hopefully you've landed him on your team. As far as the receivers for New Orleans go, well, you can't look much further than Willie Snead. Remember that name, Willie Snead? He's going to be the sneaky name. I know a lot of guys are looking at Brandon Cooks. I know some people are even looking at Michael Thomas. But Willie Snead could be that sneaky guy. Oh, and don't forget the tight end position for New Orleans either. Tight end position, Kobe Fleener. They like to throw the ball to the tight end. And, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Drew Brees. Drew Brees is probably an equal play to Derek Carr this week. Look for a lot of passing and a lot of touchdowns.
I would look at this one and say Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, I like them both in this game. I don't like the Saints defense, so obviously, you know, I'm not going to be worried about that, which is why I say Carr and Cooper safely. And potentially you look at somebody like a Crabtree and maybe give him an opportunity. For the New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees, and I agree, Willie Snead. He's not getting drafted a lot from the leagues that I've had. I think he's flying under the radar. I think he can make himself a number one. I don't know if Brandon Cooks is going to be a number one all season, so make a note of that. Chargers, Chiefs, we got a few minutes to go, so we got to spend real quick time on here. Chargers, Chiefs, who do you have?
I like Melvin Gordon. I'm not sure I like either quarterback here in this situation, but I like Melvin Gordon a lot. I also like Spencer Ware a lot more. Spencer Ware is going to get the nod. Looks like Jamaal Charles is still banged up, and it looks like Spencer Ware could run a lot on San Diego. Their defense is definitely weak against the run. That's a continuation of last year. Antonio Gates is playable if you have him, and, of course, Travis Kelce as well.
I look at this and I say, you know, Travis Kelce, I'm going to go with, I go back and forth with Antonio Gates, but I would say Travis Kelce in this. I like Spencer Ware. I believe Melvin Gordon. I thought he was going to have a good rookie season. Didn't happen. Sophomore season, I have a higher belief in him in this one. I would say Ware and Gordon, see what they could do head-to-head. Dolphins, Seahawks, who do you have?
Yeah, anybody on the Seahawks is a good pick. If you've got a skill position Seahawks player, you're okay, except the tight end position. Definitely like Russell Wilson in this spot. Not so much on the other side of the ball for Tannehill. Definitely like the running situation they're going to have in Seattle, but not in this game. It's going to be a mixed bag. Christian Michael looks like he's going to get the nod, and I'm not sure how much he's going to get the ball here. But I do have him ranked as the number 20 running back because simply it's Seattle versus Miami, and it's in Seattle. At the wide receiver position, you can't go wrong with Doug Baldwin. You know, the thing that's going to be interesting to me is going to see how Miami utilizes their running backs in this game, and I'm going to wait and see approach with Arian Foster and Jay Ajayi.
Not a big fan of Miami running back-wise. I'm going to wait and see as well. I'd like to see Jay Ajayi do something and boost himself here. Arian Foster would be good to see him resurrect his career a little bit. Seattle, I like Russell Wilson. Tyler Lockett, I think, is good to have out there as well. You look at a guy like Doug Baldwin, maybe give him an opportunity. I like Thomas Rawls. I know everybody, you know, Christine Michael, Thomas Rawls, you know, CJ Procise. There's been all these, who's going to take it, who's going to do it. So maybe it's a wait and see thing. I do hope for Rawls, though, because I do think that he is worthy of a higher draft pick. We have 5 minutes to go. So Lions, Colts, who do you got?
You know, I think Matt Stafford is underrated this year. I think he's a guy to keep an eye out. And this week against Indianapolis is a prime example. I know he lost Megatron, but he's still a capable quarterback, a very capable one, and he has some decent targets. The Indianapolis defense is not that good, especially in the secondary. I've got Matt Stafford ranked as the number 5 quarterback this week. So, but, you know, on the other side of the ball, you got a guy just as good, if not better, in Andrew Luck. And this should be a field day for Andrew Luck. So, again, this should be a high-scoring affair. Running back situation, nothing really excites me here. But the wide receivers, if you have a Golden Tate, if you have a Dante Moncrief, look out for him this year and this week as well. Those are guys I like this week. Tight end, they're going to have to throw the ball to somebody out of Indianapolis. It looks like it's going to be Dwayne Allen, who's not a bad play at the tight end position.
I would say in this one, I would agree with Dwayne Allen on this. I'm not in agreement on Detroit. I would like to see what Golden Tate can do, and he definitely has to step his game up. So if it was up to me with Detroit, I would say Golden Tate. Not really sold on anybody else. Amir Abdullah, it would be nice to see him boost himself, but I'm a wait and see when it comes to him. Philip Dorsett, I look out for with the Indianapolis Colts, and I definitely, you know, you look at T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief, and those are two worthy starters for me playing in Lucas Oil Stadium. A few minutes ago here, Giants, Cowboys, who do you have?
Yeah, I definitely have Ezekiel Elliott. You know, I definitely don't have a Cowboy quarterback on my roster anywhere. I think Ezekiel Elliott's going to be the man. I think Dez Bryant is a great opportunity. I think Eli Manning could have a sneaky year, and this could be a quick start for him against Dallas. I've got him ranked as the number 9 quarterback overall. So I look for Dallas to try to keep pace in the game, keep Ezekiel Elliott running. We talked about Jason Witten before climbing up a little bit. I've got him as the number 13 tight end this week.
I would look at this matchup and say Ezekiel Elliott for the Dallas Cowboys. And, Dak Prescott might get a couple touchdowns. He might throw a pick here and there as well. The Giants, Sterling Shepard, a nice flex if you got to throw somebody in there. And Odell, obviously you got to give him a shot. Patriots, Cardinals, who do you have?
I definitely like Carson Palmer. And if I was to pick one Patriot player, it would be Gronk, but it's a wait and see for him. And I'm not sure that they've been disclosing all the injury information, which is not new news out of New England. So we're on a wait and see approach. The good news is it's a Monday night game, so if you need to pick up somebody at the last minute, there's four tight ends because there's going to be four teams playing, so you might have some relief there. But I definitely don't think you can go wrong with David Johnson. David Johnson is a beast. He's arguably one of the top running backs. They're saying he's the next Marshall Faulk, so look out for David Johnson.
I like David Johnson, and, you know, with the Patriots, you look at somebody like Gronk, obviously. I like Carson Palmer in this game, and I like the receivers for Arizona. I don't think you could go wrong with anybody. Definitely David Johnson. We got a minute 30 here in wrapping up Fantasy Football Friday, so we're going to go very, very quickly. Monday Night Football, Steelers, Redskins, Rams, Niners. Who do you have for these?
Steelers, Redskins, you got to look at Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger is a guy that can really do some damage to defenses, really rack up the points for a high-scoring offense. Antonio Brown's on the other end of that. But you got D'Angelo Williams these first couple games. So if you were sneaky and managed to get him on your roster, he's definitely a play this week. I definitely like Pittsburgh in it. I don't like a lot that Washington has to offer. Jordan Reed is an outstanding tight end, but he has injury issues. So hopefully he'll do something early in the season for you before he gets hurt and goes out. And Matt Jones, I'm not sold that Matt Jones can hold on to the rock. So he's got to get in there and he's got to not fumble to have a good year.
That coming from Mike. And Mike, I appreciate it as always. I'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds like a great plan. I'll talk to you later.
Take care. And my really quick here, I would say D'Angelo Williams, Antonio Brown, consider Ben Roethlisberger. Redskins, not really sold on anybody. Rams and Niners, I don't like either one of this. When it comes to Niners, I don't really like any of it. But the Rams, Todd Gurley, you can't go wrong with Todd Gurley. Maybe Tavon Austin at flex. This is Fantasy Football Friday. Every Friday show, last hour, 11 a.m. to noon. I want to thank Mike Sofka. I want to thank the 10 ACC coaches. And Syracuse Louisville, I'll be at the game tonight. Check me out at CallDT on Twitter. God bless, and I'll talk to you soon on WakeUpCallDT.com.